Okay, so you might be wondering when to use this blend of herbs. Okay, you can use it for any as a background for any chronic inflammatory condition, whether it's sinusitis, acne, after antibiotics, if you have arthritis, if you have any autoimmune inflammation. This will benefit because the gut is the core, and having a healthy gut microflora is a core of all source of all chronic inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we know that we've significantly overdone it with food or stress,
mm-hmm.
right? With prolonged stress, the builders are in, we're building up to our driving license, we're doing a PowerPoint preparation to beat all PowerPoint preparations to, you know, your colleagues, you know, all those things. If we have signs of poor gut, poor skin flora, right, that will reflect poor gut flora. So if we have athlete's foot or thrush, we can know that we're kind of like fungusy inclined. It has an opportunity in there. Don't let it get carried away.
And does it, apart from what you just mentioned with athlete's foot and thrush, like, would you be able to see it on the actual, like, the skin on your arm? And
well, athlete's foot, you'll see between your toes.
Yeah.
Thrush, you'll know because your fanny is itchy. And intimacy is difficult.
Oh,
so, yeah. So there you go. So all of those are indications for, yes, treat those things. You know, it's no problem. But also pay due. It's like due diligence. You're kind of going, oh, I bet my gut flora is not looking the prettiest. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use it as a seasonal cleanse or fast. Every culture in the world has a season of cleansing. In our culture, it's Lent, Ramadan. There's, I used to know what the Jewish one was, but anyway, leading up to Yom Kippur maybe, but you know, correct me on that. So all traditions, cultures have periods of fasting.
Uh-huh.
And using this along with the fast, you know, for a few weeks would be very, these herbs would be very useful.
Great.
And also along with the probiotic, during and following a course of antibiotics, as the gut flora is commonly unbalanced before the infection. Right. So your immunity is low, therefore you get the infection. Immunity, poor immunity virtually always reflects a poor gut microflora. So you're kind of going, you're reading your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a way of reading your own needs and how to keep them nice and steady. See a medical herbalist if all these things persist, if you persist, particularly abdominal pain, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, gassing, bloating, if you're kind of going, this is ridiculous. Usually after 4 to 6 weeks, unless there's blood in the stool, that always means go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
A rash or itching around the bum or the vulva, stomach pain or tenderness, actual pain, and when you press in on your tummy, it's tender. That's always more worrying than just a bellyache. And you press your tummy and it's okay. Feeling unduly tired over a long period of time. But that's a reason for going and getting checked for all kinds of things, including anemia, thyroid, weight loss for no apparent reason, passing a worm or worms in your stool. And Katrina's face is a complete horror. It's very common. People always feel embarrassed going to the doctor with worms. You know, if you've been traveling, if you're a kid in this country, these are very common, nothing to be bothered about, but you need to know how to look for them and find them. Okay. Alongside this, you know, you don't have to go to the doctor first and the herbalist second, or the herbalist first and the doctor second.
Okay.
They can be whenever you get the appointment. Your herbalist will treat you with the most gentle herbs likely to be effective if they're looking at treating specific parasite imbalance. They'll address the reasons for the stress on the gut flora and address specific wider challenges on a one-to-one basis. Okay, this is very important.
So it's more individual.
It's absolutely individual.
Yeah.
So usually you have an hour's appointment with a herbalist, half an hour follow-ups, attention to detail, who are you, when you get it, why you got it then. Is very important. Okay. Mm-hmm. So other herbs that we would consider using is berberis, golden seal, Oregon grape, anise, which is pimpernella, wormwood, mint, particularly curd mint, and black walnuts. So these aren't particularly restricted, but I wouldn't be using these on an ongoing basis without a definite clinical reason. You know, they're very medicinal herbs. They're safe, but it's very hard to negotiate. Like, go to somebody who has studied this in detail and knows how to apply them to you as an individual.
You know, you're mentioning these herbs here. There's a lot of these names I have. This is the first time I've heard them as well. So,
well, Oregon grape has a lot of overlap, and golden seal and barberry. These have particular constituents, but you wouldn't know them because you're not taught them. This is what a herbalist goes to herbal medical school to study very, very hard for 3 or 4 years and do an apprenticeship. So I wouldn't expect you to know about them. That's why I emphasize the ones that are common, available, you know, that I would use on any age group that are, you know, so this differentiates. Yeah.
With a course of what you're offering the client.
Yeah.
Probiotics. Is there any of these in probiotics, or am I asking?
No. Probiotics are a culture replacing different aspects of the micro. They're a replacement rather than a rebalancer or a treatment or an eliminator.
Okay, yeah. I understand. Yeah. Okay.
And they can be an important part of management. But by themselves, they have limitations. As everything has limitations.
Yeah.
Yeah. But many people are very invested in learning all of this. And they know how to use it appropriately and intermittently. And so I wouldn't, I would say that the vast majority of the population would need help. But if people are very immersed in self-knowledge, self-taught knowledge of all of this, there's no problem with them using berberis for 3 to 6 weeks. But they would usually have enough knowledge to know what the limitations are and how to use them. And they might need a little bit of advice, but they're not restricted. They're not, you know, wormwood was considered to be a problem because of neurological problems, but that has been discounted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People who drank are very rough alcoholic artemisia worm absinthe. But the problem was the really cheap alcohol. So that's been rescued from the danger zone. Right. Many herbs have been rescued from there, but nobody ever hears about that aspect.
That's good to know, though.
Yeah. So the other thing that I'd like to emphasize is nutrition, because the gentle herbs and the nutrition go together, as with even if and especially if there's more kind of deeper kind of imbalance. So eat more raw garlic. Garlic keeps coming up, doesn't it, as you noted, Katrina, when you read the notes. So garlic, pumpkin seeds, pomegranate, beets and carrots. All of these have been traditionally used to kill parasites. Go to the grocery shop. In one study, researchers found that a mixture of honey and papaya seeds cleared the stools of parasites in 23 out of 30 subjects.
No.
So papaya is good as well.
Papaya is not a fruit that I've seen very readily available here in Ireland.
Hmm.
I haven't. And I've seen mangoes.
Yeah.
But I've not. And I do love papaya. I think it's a beautiful fruit. It's so nice to eat.
Yeah.
It's something that I wish that was readily available here in Ireland. But it's sadly, it's not as, you might get it. And they're gone very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, really lovely fruit. I
really nice.
Yeah.
But the one of the commonest things in there is pumpkin seeds, which are not hugely expensive. And you can use them instead of pine nuts in your homemade pesto using the raw garlic, which is in season now. You have to, the bit of foraging always goes in there. Drink a lot of water, eat more fiber, because that escorts the worms out. Okay, it also escorts out all the breakdown products of cholesterol, which everybody is suffering from. Not everybody, but yeah.
There's so much emphasis on people taking, you know, more fiber and more fiber on your diet.
We'll do another podcast on that.
Yes.
Because it's a whole topic in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You all know what I'm going to say next. Keep down the simple carbohydrates, all the baked goods, all, you know, especially fruit juices, sweetened dairy products, all sugars, except for a little bit of preferably local honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probiotics, there's a whole list of the different kinds. They're still finding out massive amounts of science. They're all very excited. And there's a lot of emerging information. You don't have to buy a particularly expensive one. You know, you want a good quality, a producer that stands by their products, so that if somebody is going to investigate the quality, it's their only business. They're invested in it. They train staff. They do all of that. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to cost a fortune, because it's not a resource that's scarce. Okay.
Okay.
Digestive enzymes will help restore your intestinal tract to its normal state, which makes it inhospitable to parasites. Papain from the papaya is an enzyme from the that helps kill worms taken 30 minutes before or after meals. And I presume you can get an extract of that as well, which is would be described in the class as digestive enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be therapeutic as well. Papain may increase bleeding in people with clotting disorders or those taking blood thinning medication. So it's just a little proviso. And then vitamin C and zinc. Okay, both of those can support the immune system. Care needs to be taken for people with HIV, AIDS, or immune suppressant medications. So, but if you're on any of those medications, you should be seeking expert advice from a medical herbalist or a pharmacist or a doctor who knows about these things.
Okay.
So, yeah, their particular subsection. Now, you're more likely to get worms if you've been in, if you're in child. An institution like an orphanage. You know, many people go and volunteer in orphanages abroad or help in refugee centres. International travel to an area or people who receive refugees in the country of refuge. Right. Yes. So hostels or emergency accommodation, that kind of thing. Where poor sanitation, anything with poor sanitation and poor hygiene. Particular care with children and elders because they have a lower immune system and the HIV or AIDS. So I think you're getting the gist. Okay.
Yeah.
For those who want to know, all of these reactions are type 2 immunity characterized by particular interleukins. And this immune response is commonly observed in the tissues during allergic inflammation to infection and worm parasites.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put that in for those of you who are kind of like, oh, good to know. Now, another take-home message, always wash your organic or farm fresh or garden fresh fruit and vegetables. People think, oh, they came from the nice clean earth. And I'm going, no, soil has millions of bugs. So it's particularly important to wash because they are grown in living soil.
Yes.
So right. You can take that funny face off. Your soil needs lots and lots of microbes to make all of these minerals accessible to the plants that people are working so hard on producing organically. Okay, a lot of weeding involved. So, but make sure you wash your hands and wash your hands when you come in from the garden, if you're a gardener.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a few. How are we doing for time?
Plenty of time. Keep going.
Okay.
We finish it off.
So again, just to go back to the original thing, which is maybe we've got the wrong idea about these parasites being, you know, sucking the living daylights out of our nutrition. That it seems that the if you look at the gut microflora, the gut microbiome, however way you describe it, that can be considered a superorganism.
Yes.
They act together. They interact with each other. They release peptides, they help with absorption of food, they do all kinds of good stuff, right? And they have a huge influence. The sum total of all of those effects has a huge influence on our physiological function, right? And they regulate immunity, nutritional metabolism, and they protect against the invasion by nasty or nastier bugs. And it's likely that an evolution adaptation led them to live off the host without causing any harm, suggesting mutual benefit. But then, wherever there's evidence, you can find more evidence that contradicts the evidence. Right? Once you get immersed in research for anything, you realize that you can prove nearly everything with the research available. And you only quote that research. Because of my research for my writing, I've realized I could prove anything to anybody. Right. Just about. I mean, that's a wild generalization. but it would be amazingly easy to do. And people do it all the time. All right. So nevertheless, the parasite infections do influence the TH1, TH2 and T regulatory balances. And that can depend on whether you're exposed to them in childhood or when you're an elder, as we said. And it seems likely that if we're exposed to some of these parasites at particular developmental times, that we then supercharge our immune system so that we resist allergies, for example. So this links back to the over-hygiene theory.
So young kids out playing in the grass.
Yeah.
Out playing in the park or whatever. I know from myself, I spent most of my young childhood outside, get outside and play. And this is where I've always been told of you build your immune system as a child outside.
Yeah. There's a big concern that children are not being exposed to the full range of natural flora, right? Whether it's in the woods, the tree bark, the mushrooms, the kicking up the dirt, digging in the dirt, planting things, you know, like it would have been that people would have weeded the vegetable garden after they came home from school, that kind of thing, especially in rural Ireland. Not that I want children out doing heavy farm work from a very young age. That has other problems.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can look on the past with rose-tinted glasses, which is not a good idea. But I'd climb trees. I mean, I'd never see anybody climbing trees.
Not anymore.
Peeling bark off rotting trunks that have fallen, that kind of engagement and deep, you know, using a stick and pulling it along the soil and drawing things in the sand even, and amidst all the little sand flies and all of that kind of play, right, with very light supervision. And I'm not talking about sending children off for the day and coming back, this which was my childhood, because that was not ideal, and I think children do need to be protected. So it's the and but, you know, you want them to be a light supervision, surveillance kind of, you know, but still free to explain, to explore.
Yes.
But the and but is often sometimes very difficult, you know, to decide.
Okay.
So the parasites display immune and modulatory characteristics, so they have to do that in order to persist in the intestine as a normal commensal, you know, and so that may also charge up the background of the immune system. Parasites are geographical. Right. So there's an inherent difference in the diversity of the gut parasite in gut parasitome, which is that section of the gut microbiome concerned with parasites, in high income versus low income countries. And that's shaped by factors such as diet, hygiene practices, medication and demography. But if you live in Western industrialized society, you by definition, you have a very poor diversity of bugs in your gut microflora. Yeah. And also when anthropologists or World Health Organization personnel go and look at the natural flora of children in less wealthy countries, they see these parasites and they describe them as sickness. Whereas in fact, they're normative and they're enriching. Okay, so they're with the potential to cause disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential for disease comes out because of impoverishment.
Okay.
So they can't afford, they eat too much carbohydrate compared to protein or fats. And that leads to the parasite becoming a disease factor. All right. But in fact, you're talking about two completely different cultures and societies. And the answer is not to kill all these parasites with pharmaceutical chemicals that are imported. The way to address it is to improve the food availability and enrich the local soil. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, of
course. We have a very simplistic attitude to all of these things.
Great.
Okay. So I think probably I'll give the last word to a very nice study done in 2023. And the overall abstract reads, plants have long been thought to contribute to health promotion due to their fiber and phenolic content, as well as their inherent biological potential. The bioactive derivatives of medical plants are a valuable resource in the fight against serious disease all around the world. The present review focuses on the current state of knowledge on the usage and medical application of plant bioactives. Issues concerning the effect of aromatic plant derivatives on human gut microbiota and their antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory potentials are discussed and worth further exploring. So that's a comment from the world of microbiology in very recent times, and it fits in with what we understand of gut function as core to all aspects of health, feeling comfortable in our digestion, our state of mind, and I would say our hormone balance. All of these are underwritten by our immune systems, and 66% of the immune system lines the gut. So I think that puts it in a framework of probability, possibility, probability, likelihood, and scientific evidence against a background of traditional use, in which I have great confidence. Mm. That's what I call empirical science, close observation over generations to millennia. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you. That was, yeah, so I'm really fascinated by all this now that you've kind of given me a better insight to learning about our guts, because these are things that, you know, we don't know, and you're just throwing a lot of advertising or marketing at us when, you know,
we're finished, aren't we?
Yeah, no, we're still talking.
Oh,
when we should be, you know, learning about these things and understanding it better, because a lot of people do have a lot of problems. I know there's something there mentioned where Crohn's disease, which a lot of people have these things now. So yeah, informing yourself and knowing about, you know, what can happen in our system, how we to help it, how to look after it better, how to treat our gut better, basically. You know, we all say the gut feeling, you know.
True.
Our gut knows.
Gut instinct.
Gut instinct is right. So we'll end it there today. Thank you for listening. You can find us on all social media, Facebook, and we're on Instagram. And we will be putting up links to a lot of this information that Dilish has very kindly given us. If you're interested in reading it, I will put it up, on the Spotify when I get a chance. Thank you for listening today. We've still a lot to get through, but we will in the future. We'll be coming back to this as soon as we can. Okay, take care. Thanks, Dilish, for today.
Thank you, Katrina.
Take care. Bye for now. We look forward to you joining us on this journey of exploration and learning with the herbal doctor, Dr. Dilish Clare. And we'll be back with you very soon. So thank you very much, and stay tuned.